Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here. Another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I have a very special event for you. We told you last week we were going to do something special for you, and we kept our word. The Original Carriers, gospel music group, sing together for 88 years. They sang together for 58 years together.
What's and the now, difference?
And now here they are together once again. Dave, would you do me a good favor and introduce your friends to our listeners, please?
You betcha, Giff. We are, this is a memorable occasion for us today to be on WPFG. It really is. We're excited that you came to hear us and turned the dial our way. I want to go back again at the beginning and see if we can find 25 more minutes of things to talk about. How did we get our name, Neil? The Couriers.
Well, I wasn't there when it happened, but I understand in 1953, there was a group in the Bible school that we attended later, and they called themselves the Couriers, a Couriers Quartet. And when the 55 group, I don't think there was a group in 54. In 1955, Don Baldwin and Dave Colonen and some other guys, three other guys, organized the group, and they were looking for a name, and they said, well, these guys have not using this name anymore. Let's just take that. Couriers is an old world version of the word carrier. Courier is a carrier. So we carried the message, and you guys decided on that. And it was funny because we go to the South with their drawl. They would say to us, y'all are couriers.
I think that the important part about it was that we got discouraged with that name because we thought nobody, everybody, you know, had these big famous names, and we felt like couriers. What in the world are we doing? And we said, hey, let's think up some names, and 30 days from now, let's change. And everybody come up with their own names. They think that's good. After 30 days, we come up with nothing. And everybody said, hey, couriers. That's a pretty good name. I think we better keep it.
So hey, Dave, I'm thinking about the time we drove up to the church in Vidor, Texas, in the afternoon, getting ready to sing there that night. And there was a little tent somewhere off in the grounds off next to the church. I don't know why they did it, but they were had it there. But they were digging a water trench around. Some old fellow had a shovel. He's digging out this water trench for drainage. And he saw us pull up, and evidently he had seen our advertising or whatever. And when we stepped out of the car, he said, y'all sang overseas? He said, we didn't. We said, oh, sure, yeah, lots of times. He said, well, I thought so. I saw in your promotion it said the Courier Quartet.
The Courier.
I thought you were singing Courier.
It ended up being a great name because it's a messenger sent with an important message. And what more important message is there? It's simple. Yeah. So we kept the name.
Dwayne, now that you've been singing for all these years, and God has brought you through a lot of things. You had an operation on your throat, and it's amazing that you're still able to sing. The tenor part is the hardest part. It's the first part of your body that goes bad. It's high. We were singing you way higher than we should have, and Neil was responsible for that. He put us in keys that nobody could sing. Right? Did you feel bad about that, Dwayne?
Well, sometimes you say, why did it happen? But I'm over that a long time ago.
You know, Dwayne, you do what you can do for the moment.
Well, just tell you the truth. in a lot of groups who were in it to make big money and to really press forward, I would have been gone from the group. I would have been set to the side, okay? And you guys didn't do that to me. And I'll be forever grateful for that. And as little by little, I got back singing again. But because of you guys, it was more of a ministry and taking care of a hurting person. That's what we're supposed to do. We hurt, and I was hurting. And you guys picked me up, and we continued singing.
So I remember one time, Dwayne, when we were on a 40-day trip, and you got sick. You got the flu or something, and you couldn't sing. I mean, we were going around this 40-day trip. Every night it was up to Toronto and across Canada and down the West Coast to Long Beach. And so we finally said, we have a guy home is our promotion man. Let's fly him in.
Yep.
Let's fly Dwayne home. Let him get better.
I got the Hong Kong flu in Long Beach, California.
Okay.
That's where I got it. Okay.
That's a song title right there.
And from that point on, for several days, I'm not going to be gruesome about it, but I was throwing up, and I was sick, and I was getting dehydrated, and it was awful. So you dropped me, of all places, in Reno, Nevada. Okay. And I got on a plane there, and I flew excruciatingly. It was awful. Back to my home, and my wife met me at the airport. And you know what? She must have been the miracle potion, because my sickness left me immediately. I have no idea why that happened.
You just wanted to come home.
I have never been so sick in all my life.
I've heard a lot of reasons why to go home. Yeah, I got the flu. I want to tell you something. What happened that tour, I looked ahead after Dwayne got on the airplane and Paul was lucky, came in and he became our tenor singer. And I looked ahead, and I could see that coming back from the West Coast, we're going to go right through Oklahoma, and we're going to
My dad pastored.
And we're going to go to the church that Dwayne's daddy pastored, and the whole town was going to come to see their hometown boy. We drove into town, and everybody said, where's Dwayne? Dwayne, the hometown boy? Everybody was there, the newspaper and the photographer.
The advertising only had my picture in the paper.
That's right.
Couriers came and it was Dwayne Nicholson's picture on the front page.
And I wasn't there.
That was a catastrophe. Oh. I remember that night.
But there were many nights during those 58 years that you sang with laryngitis. You sang, and it takes a toll on you. But God was faithful. And
you know, we were.
With a tenor singer, there is absolutely there's no let up. If you're not there, it's you know, the other parts are important. Like baritone is actually the glue that puts everything together. But if you don't hear the tenor,
you don't hear.
And he had me on the lead a lot. Okay, and that's the pressure on yourself. I'm not performing, but you know what's amazing? Time after time, and we thought we were just absolutely doing our worst, bad voices, and just. That was the night that people come out and say, man, did you just bless me? You know why? Because we went back and depended on the Holy Spirit. And I saw that happen over and over and over again. It was just amazing how God, you know, when you just lean on Him. And how many times did I have to do that through the years? It's amazing.
Need I remind you that I had the nodule operation before you did?
I know you did.
And I got over mine fine. Yours took a long time to come back.
Yeah.
But while I was away, like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, couldn't say a word, couldn't whisper. I had to write down information when I went to the cleaners and say, this is my name, this is what I want. I couldn't say anything. But it was a precious time. But Phil Armenia took my place. And you talk about adding insult to injury.
Mm.
Phil Armenia sang my parts, knew them all, played the piano that I played, knew it all, wore my suit.
Fit to a T.
They did not need me. They had him. The shoes, yes. They had him. I was so stinking humiliated, but I needed that.
We didn't even rehearse.
And while I was off and couldn't make a sound, I got a greeting card from someone, and the message was this: there is no music in arrest. only the making of music. And I thought, what's that mean? When you're reading a musical score and you come to a rest, everything stops except your mind. You remember where you came from and you strategize where you're going. You anticipate what's about to happen. And that's exactly where I was in my life. I was sitting at home, not able to make a sound, thinking about all that God had done in and through us and because of us, and trying to figure out what kind of an attitude to have going forward with the Couriers. It was a precious time.
Being Phil Armenian, coming in, and he loved the Couriers. He'd sit at home and play the piano and sing all by himself. When we get a new song, he's up grabbing it up and he's learning it. And when you got sick and couldn't sing, Phil Armenian came into focus. I said, he knows everything.
He didn't need practice.
And he came on the bus, and I said, we're going to, a couple hours, why don't you go back and see if what Neil's Close looks like to you. And man, he come out with the Neil's Close fit to a T. And then after a couple of nights, I'd like to challenge him. I'd call on songs I knew he didn't know. And by jingy, he'd start, away we go. And then I said, I got him now. And we went to Sweden and we learned the Swedish.
The Lord will make a way for me.
No, he the pearly gates will open.
He the pearly gates will open.
Han Holu, Hoopla,
Pearly Port. So what y'all can come on in.
And so I made that announcement and I thought Phil was going to look up and say, I don't know.
Swedish.
And you know what? He played the intro and he sang every word syllable, that we did. Yep. Every syllable was right on.
Han Holu, not Pearly Port.
Genom
blodet.
Genom blodet har de frälst
mig. Har han frälst mig
att vara
mig som sen.
See, here's what we do. We get off the airplane and we get in the car with a guy from Africa or from Sweden and we say, look, we got to learn a little course in Swedish so that when we start our program tonight, we can sing it and people will think, hey, we're in for a great night. They're singing our language. And that was the only thing we knew was about that much. We'd learn it phonetically. And then we'd end up in English. We went to all these places and we tried to get the guy to give us the song, their favorite song in the church, trying to fool the people. Wonderful. Those are some.
There was another time, Dave, when we were going to Poland. And one of the kids from our church went to Bible school and met a girl from Poland, beautiful girl, which he finally married, but she was in town. And so we found out we were going to Poland, and I called her in. I said, Maya, please give me the phonetic sounds of How Great Thou Art. So she sat at my table, and she gave me all of those sounds in order. And once I got it, I was trying to write things down. There's a word in there. How would you spell Fajong? Fajong. Yeah, Fajong. We got to her home church in Poland, and we thought this is our big chance, and we said, Gduna tans fiat. And the whole crowd grabbed it and ran with it. We didn't have to sing the rest of it. It was so hard anyway.
Speaking of overseas things, people ask us, are there certain times that you really remember more than anything else? And you guys will remember this. We were in Rustenburg, South Africa. That's a town where we had a college, like a Bible school. So anyway, we were singing there for about, I'd say, 200 young guys, South Africans. And we started to sing, and we sang for quite a while, and one of our big songs back then was a big orchestra behind it. I Sing the Mighty Power of God, okay? And so we started that song, big intro, and people are just praising the Lord. Halfway through the song, the power went off, which was not unusual in Africa. It happened quite a bit. And so instead of stopping, we kept singing. And we finished the song, and those guys stood and with their hands raised to the Lord for about, it seemed like 5 minutes, okay? We never sang it again with the orchestra background. We sang it the rest of our career.
To this day.
Sing the Mighty Power of God a cappella.
Wouldn't it be great if we could sing it in this little room here at WPFG?
Give it a try.
No.
Don't say that gift.
That's not going to be good. You can play our record. So those are important times in our life. There's so many stories from overseas that you can't.
Right. We have tons of stories from overseas. Neil, I want to go back to the music that you gave us. Powerful stuff that put the Couriers really on the map. We used to go to concerts with seven groups, and they'd all sing How Great Thou Art. And after seven times here, you didn't want to hear it eight times. But when you wrote your songs, what's the favorite? I mean, I told you Open Wide Thy Merciful Arms is the first one you ever wrote. There's 50 to choose from, 60 to choose from. What do you like for someone to say?
This will surprise you.
I'm sure it will.
I know what you're going to say.
Potter Vessel Oil. It puts me on the potter's
wheel.
Wheel, yep. Because that was the time in my life that I spoke of last week about going back to the same altar. What do you want? Letting God shape me and mold me into in his image, his concept, not mine.
You were the...
I was the clay.
He's the potter, you're the clay.
Well, the song says, potter, take me, I'm the clay. Here on your wheel I lie, ready and willing to be molded and modeled by thee, shaped by your hands to your demands. I am not mine, I am thine. Then this is a vessel that I wish to be, draws no attention to me, not one of beauty I ask, just one that serves your great task, tested and tried, spotless inside, proven and faultless to thee. Then the last verse says, oil of the Spirit, I pray, pour into my life today, fill me till I overflow, when I run over I'll know that I fulfilled thy perfect will, use me, I'm ready to go. That kind of a thing.
So when we sometimes some nights, Neil, we'd go to and we'd sing 10 songs in a row, and they were all yours.
One of the songs that just caught me totally off guard, after Statue of Liberty, people started to accept that, and I realized that we were coming up on the bicentennial, and I said, if Americans are going to be looking at our symbols, how can I give them the gospel? So I first went to the American flag, and the longer I looked at that, I mean, it bowled me over what came to my heart. I said, Betsy must have been a believer, Betsy Ross must have been a believer trying to have a testimony when she made the flag, because the symbols on the American flag are stars and stripes. Jesus born under the star at Bethlehem, died under the stripes at Calvary. And so that's where that song came from. And though there's glory in old glory, she could never quite compare to the glory of the cross of Calvary, yeah. That kind of a thing. But, I mean, that knocked me dead, the realization.
You also have written some songs that meet the need of people. And we always said, if we're going to be on the road away from our families for all this time, it's worthless if we're just going to go out there and sing some little ditty. We've got to say something, minister to people. That was the courier message, yeah. Okay? And so he wrote one of my favorite songs, which I have not experienced in my life, except for I had the throat problem. He wrote a song that, and today, even when you're listening to this program, there are people sitting out there. I want Neil to explain this song, Love Smashed Upon the Rocks.
Oh, my.
And to tell, just...
Yeah, it hasn't happened to me either, Duane. I still have a great marriage after 53 years. But I began to see that the ways of the secular world were coming into the church with respect to divorce rates. And I said, someone has to say something, and my pulpit is music. So I said, I don't know a thing about it. This is a total foreign issue to me. So I went to people who had been divorced, and I said, look, I'm writing a song about this. I have no idea what you're feeling. Where do you hurt? And I was amazed to find that the people that I talked to were anxious to share their experience because they wanted to be understood. So I wrote two long verses. One of them says, the honeymoon is history. The love songs play no more. The lover who once held you tight has walked out through the door. The endless days and lonely nights have brought you to your knees. For broken vows and promises make painful memories. The children play reluctantly. They seem to sense the change. The happy home that they once knew, they've had to rearrange. With thoughts of being secondhand, and no one seems to understand, you're left with love that smashed upon the rocks. Second verse, then comes the voice of him who bore the shame of your mistake. I'll never leave you, Jesus said, and never will forsake. He feels your hurt and knows your grief. He's been forsaken too, and he can meet the deepest need that aches inside of you. The happy ever after that once filled your hopes and dreams can turn into reality, though all is lost, it seems. Your love forever he'll restore. No one could ever love you more. He'll never smash your love upon the rocks.
What a song. Well, still moves me, Neil.
I like to dig down where people live, way down inside of them.
The world has probably gone to more divorce than when you wrote that song.
Oh, yeah.
So the world is filled with it. It's
epidemic.
There are people that are listening to us today that are just saying, what can you help me with? What could I do? Where do I go?
I know we're coming down to the end. I want to run this by you real quick. Restore a fallen brother with spirit meek and true.
There you go.
Forgive his many failures and bear his burden too. Pray for God to keep him in his loving hand. Stand with him in his testing. Compassion touches man. Though he is wrong, he's family. He feels the distance too. Show him you really need him. Pour healing balm on his wounds. You may someday stumble, even though you try. The Father waits in mercy to hear his children cry. Each member of the family is precious in his sight. Restore a fallen brother and hold his kinship high. Boy, we all need that. We all need it. I often say, God, why on earth did you bother to save me? I even ask it today of the Lord, why? Why me? And I don't have an answer for that other than his deep love and compassion.
Neil, I am just sitting here saying what a privilege it is for us to tell people about the Lord. I want us to close our couple of days with a prayer that comes from the deep of all three of us, I know, and from those who are listening here at WPFG. These are some wonderful people we work with and work for. If you're hurting today really bad, I want to tell you something. The songs that Neil has talked about, they're powerful. They just grab your heart and give you an opportunity to say, yes, Lord, yes, I understand that, and I want that, and I need that. Please help me. And that's the whole gist of what we've done for these years. After 3 years of retirement, and I come with you guys and sit down and talk about this, I'm not going to be the same today. I'm going to live different the rest of the day. I'm going to live with precious memories. And I want to thank you guys for coming. Neil Lindell, Dave Colonin, and Dwayne Nicholson.
Tell you guys once again, I love you like brothers.
Amen.
Your family.
I want to thank Giff for allowing us to be a part of the...
My man with the golden voice.
Four guys. It's four guys with heart. Four guys with heart.
It's four guys today, yes. Thank you.
What do you think, Giff? What do you think?
I say you three guys have really lifted my spirits, and I'm sure our listeners feel as well. I can tell that you've spent many, many, many years together, and I can tell that you have a deep admiration and respect for one another and for what you stand for, but mostly I can tell that every single one of you guys have a deep compassion for loving the Lord. The Lord comes first. That's very difficult to find that this day and age, to find a group of gentlemen willing to put their lives on hold while they celebrate the life of Jesus Christ our Savior. Hallelujah. You gentlemen are to be commended. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. I just will tell our listeners as a final reminder, if you want to hear Dave, Neil, and Dwayne, again, you'll hear them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 9:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Be here. It's still good news today coming up next week.
Bye-bye. Amen.
Thank you, Giff. Thank you, Dwayne and Neil. It's the Couriers and Giff Briner. God bless you and have a great day. Bye-bye.